Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya illahi. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of the prophets of Allah, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise that of his family and companions, all of them in entirety. Amma ba'du, as for what follows, then we thank Allah Ta'ala and we praise Him for allowing us to come together here locally at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh, and with our brothers online through Telelink in the state of Florida at the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida, at Masjid Quba in Orlando, and the Islamic Center of Palm Beach. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of them success and forgive their sins. We come together on this afternoon of the 18th day of Shawwal in the year 1437 to resume our weekly study of the great book Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, written by Shaykh al-Islam, the great scholar of Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhabi al-Tamimi. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. And we use as a guide, reading word for word, the explanation of the virtuous scholar of this era, Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have an abundance of mercy upon him. We have reached in that printed explanation page number 53 of the printing I'm using, where we left off last week, mentioning a brief biography for the great scholar of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir. The author of the text stated, وَأَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِثْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. And the various types of worship that Allah has ordered to be fulfilled are the likes of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Islam being the five pillars of action, Iman being the six pillars of basic belief, and Ihsan being worshipping Allah with conviction and proficiency. It's important to know why we are discussing the various different kinds of worship. That is because previously we've said that mankind has been created for the worship of Allah. And there are some people who agree and they say, yes, as a Muslim, I understand, agree to, and commit to that only Allah deserves worship. But if you ask them, what is the meaning of worship? They may be unable to define it with a comprehensive term, which means they only partially understand what worship is. They may say prostration. And we say, excellent. Yes, you have mentioned an example of worship. But when we say only Allah deserves worship, we are not saying only Allah deserves prostration and that's it. Only for Allah is prayer and that's it. That is a very shallow and weak understanding of Tawheed, that only Allah deserves worship. It is important that we acquaint ourselves with all of the things that Allah Ta'ala has deemed as worship, because we are negating the right of all objects of worship to receive any of those acts. So it can't be just Salah. It has to be every single thing that is classified as worship. That is what I negate. That is what I denounce being offered to other than Allah. And I affirm all of those acts to be the sole and exclusive right of Allahu Tabarak wa Ta'ala. With that in mind, we read the explanation of the virtuous Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. He said, لَمَّا بَيَّنَ الْمُؤَلِّفُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Once the author had clarified, may Allah have mercy on him, أَنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَيْنَا, that the obligation that is upon us, أَنْ نَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, that we are to worship Allah alone, ascribing no partners to Him in worship, بَيَّنَ فِي مَا يَأْتِي شَيْئًا مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Then he began explaining what will come here, some matters of the different types of ibadah, of worship. فَقَالَ, and so he said, وَأَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ مِثْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. And so the various types of worship are like Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. وَهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَةُ الْإِسْلَامُ وَالْإِيمَانُ وَالْإِحْسَانُ. And these three affairs, Islam, Iman, faith, and Ihsan, certainty in worship, or proficiency and certainty. هِيَ الدِّينُ. These things are the religion itself. كَمَا جَاءَ ذَلِكَ فِيمَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. As has come in what was collected by Muslim, al-Imam Muslim, min hadithi Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, from the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, qal, he said, baynama nahnu 'inda Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once we were with the Messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, that yawmin, that one day, إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ, when a man came and appeared to us, رَجُلٌ شَدِيدُ بَيَاضِ الثِّيَابِ, a man with extremely white garments, شَدِيدُ سَوَادِ الشَّعْرِ, extremely dark hair. This is called the hadith of what or who? The hadith of Jibreel. Barakallahu fikum. La yura alayhi atharu safar. There were no signs of travel upon him visibly. Wa la ya'rifuhu minna ahadun. And yet no one amongst us knew him. Strangely, he was not known to the people of the area, nor were there any signs of traveling upon him. Hatta jalasa ila an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went all the way until he sat to the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Fa asnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi, and so he connected his knees all the way to his knees, meaning he sat up knee to knee to the Prophet, sitting on his knees. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ, and he placed his hands upon his thighs. Very good manners. قَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ, he said, O Muhammad, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, tell me about Islam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and so the Messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Islam is to testify that none have the right to be worshipped other than Allah. وأن محمدا رسول الله, and that Muhammad was the Messenger of Allah. وتقيم الصلاة, and to establish the prayer. وتؤتي الزكاة, and that you pay the zakat. وتصوم رمضان, and that you fast in Ramadan. وَتَحُجَّ الْبَيْتَ إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and that you perform the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to find a way. قَالَ صَدَقْتَ, and so he said, the one who asked the question, you have spoken truthfully. قَالَ فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. Umar said, we were shocked and amazed at him that he would ask and then verify the answer, saying or confirming that it was accurate. Very strange affair. Someone confirming the accuracy, the correctness of the answer from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. Then he asked, then tell me about Iman, faith. قَالَ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ. It is that you believe in Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ, and in His angels and books of revelation, وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and in His messengers and in the last day, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, and that you believe in the qadr, the good and the bad of it. قَالَ صَدَقْتِ. And so the questioner said again, you have spoken correctly. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ. He then asked, tell me about إِحْسَان, accuracy of worship or certainty in worship. قَالَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ. It is that you worship Allah كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, as if you see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And then when you know that you can't see Him, you are certain that He indeed sees you. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Then he asked, tell me about the hour, meaning the day of judgment. قَالَ مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one being asked knows no more than the questioner. قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Not إِمَارَاتِهَا. Tell me about its signs. قَالَ أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That the slave woman gives birth to her master, her owner, her master. وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاهِ. And that you see the barefoot, naked herdsmen, يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, competing in the building of large structures. ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ فَلَبِثْتُ مَلِيًّا. Then he went away, so I looked for him for quite some time, meaning and he did not find him. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِي يَا عُمَرُ. So then Umar said, and then he, meaning the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to me, O Umar, أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلِ. Do you know who the questioner was? قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. قَالَ فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He was Jibreel. He came to teach you your religion. فَجَعَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءَ هِيَ الدِّينَ. So the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, mentioned these affairs as being the religion in entirety. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهَا مُتَضَمِّنَةٌ لِلدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. And that is because these matters include the religion in its entirety. The whole point here is that the author said in the text, from the acts of worship that are only for Allah is Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. All of these matters are for Allah Ta'ala alone. Then he says, back to the text, on the top of page 54, وَمِنْهُ الدُّعَاءُ وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ. And from the affairs of worship that are only for Allah, الدُّعَاء, supplications, prayers, وَالْخَوْفُ, and the fear of worship, وَالرَّجَاءُ, and the hope and anticipation of worship, وَتَوَكُّلُ, and placing one's trust as a form of worship, وَالرَّغْبَةُ, and having anticipation and hope, another word for that, وَالرَّهْبَةُ, and dreading or having a high state of religious fear for the punishment of Allah, وَالْخُشُوعُ, and the humility and submissiveness of one's heart and limbs, وَالْخَشْيَةُ, and knowledge-based fear, fear of Allah based on knowledge of Him, وَالْإِنَابَةُ, and repentance and returning to Allah in repentance and remorse for what has passed of your deeds. وَالِاسْتِعَانَةُ There should be no hamzatu qat there. It should say وَالِاسْتِعَانَةُ Another printing mistake. And seeking assistance. وَالِاسْتِعَاذَةُ And seeking refuge. Again, the hamza does not belong there. وَالِاسْتِغَاثَةُ Again, another hamza that doesn't belong printed. الْاِسْتِغَاثَةُ is seeking help in times of dire need. وَالذَّبْحُ And slaughtering in one's name, in the name of Allah. وَالنَّذْرُ Taking oaths or vows. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ And other of the forms of worship. أَلَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا Those which Allah has ordered to be done, kulluha lillahi ta'ala. All of them are for Allah the Most High. In explanation of this section of the text, the Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen stated, "Ay kullu anwa'i al-ibadati." This means all of the different types of worship. Mimma dhakara, from those he mentioned, wa ghayruhu. And others as well. لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ They are due to Allah alone. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ No partner does he have in that right to receive all of that worship. فَلَا يَحِلُّ صَرْفُهَا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى And so it is not permissible to dedicate any of those acts of worship or perform any of those acts of worship to other than Allah the Most High. Back to the text. The author states, فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ Whoever performs any of those acts to other than Allah, فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ We have a number of errors there in the printing. It says, فَهُوُ It should say, فَهُوَ This is the downside to when they place tashkil on everything, is there will be lots of errors. That's why it's better and more academic not to put the dabt, the shekel on everything. Because who can sit there and go through every single letter and add the fatha, dhamma, kasra without mistakes? And it gives the weaker readers who are working on their Arabic, gives them a false sense of security when that is inaccurate. You hope that if someone took the time to put vowels on every letter as a new learner in Arabic, you're hoping that that's correct. You're actually building your practice upon it. You need that to be correct. So you see here in this one small phrase, you have two mistakes back to back. It should say fahuwa with a fatha on the waw. There's no fahuwu. And then mushrak is wrong. It should be mushrik with a kasra on the ra. Mushrik kafirun. And everything else is okay as far as I see there. Previously, there's the word shay'an. فَمَنْ صَرَفَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا You see, there's a hamza with a fatha and then a tanween after that. Which is something that doesn't exist in Arabic. It should be simply a tanween over the hamza and that's it. There's no vowel to be written over an aleph in the Arabic language. Whoever dedicates any act of worship from these to other than Allah, he is a polytheist, a person who has fallen into shirk, and he is a kafir, a disbeliever. وَالدَّلِيلُ The evidence for that, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ And whoever calls upon someone other than Allah, a deity, another deity, la burhana lahu bihi, having no evidence to do so in that act, فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ Then his account will be only with his Lord. And then what does that mean? Everyone's account is with their Lord. Right? That's not specific. Here's what's specific to that person. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ Verily, the disbelievers do not attain success. They will not be successful. Meaning that whoever has called upon someone besides Allah is a disbeliever who will be unsuccessful with Allah Ta'ala. In commentary, our Shaykh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen stated, ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى. The author mentioned here, may Allah the Most High have mercy upon him, جملة من أنواع العبادة. He mentioned a number of different types of worship. وذكر أن من صرف منها شيئا لغير الله. And he mentioned as well that whoever does any of them for other than Allah, فهو مشرك كافر, that he is a polytheist disbeliever. واستدل بقوله تعالى, and he used as a proof for that statement, وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. He used the statement, and verily the masjids, they are for Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not make dua to anyone besides Allah, or anyone along with Allah. That's from Surah Al-Jinn. وَبِقَوْلِهِ, and he used his statement, وَمَنْ يَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ, and whoever calls upon another deity along with Allah, having no proof to do so in that action, فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ, then verily his account is only with his Lord. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ, verily the disbelievers shall not attain success. That verse is from Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 117th verse. He continues to say, وَوَجْهُ الدِّلَالَةِ مِنَ الْآيَةِ الْأُولَى, the angle of proof from the first verse, أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, is that Allah the Most High أَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ, he informed us that the masajid, and I've intentionally left that in Arabic because masajid has two intended meanings, not just the obvious one. What's the obvious one? The plural of masjid, like this place we're in, the masjids, the buildings set up for the worship of Allah alone. There's another meaning the Shaykh will explain. The masajid, وَهِيَ مَوَاضِعُ السُّجُودِ, they're the places of sujood. He means here linguistically, the word masjid is ismul makan. It's the name of a place based on the three-letter root, sajada. It's the place for sujood. It's the place where you make sajda. That's a masjid, right? A musalla is a place where you make salat. وَهِيَ مَوَاضِعُ السُّجُودِ, the masajid are the places of prostration, meaning the masjids that we call mosques. أَوْ أَعْضَاءُ السُّجُودِ, it also means the body parts that make sujood. And they are seven. What are the seven body parts that make sujood? The head, including the forehead and nose. The two hands, two and three. The two knees, four and five. And the edges of the toes, or the two feet, six and seven. The seven body parts that make sujood, they are called masajid as well. So the masajid are for Allah. The places of sujood on your body, they are for Allah only. You are not to make sujood to anyone else. And the places where you make sujood, the masjids, the mosques, they are for Allah. And as well, having said both of those things, so do not call upon anyone along with him. Meaning he deserves all acts of worship. In that verse are two examples of worship. What are they? The sujood, from the word masajid, prostrations, either through it being the places of prostration or the body parts that prostrate. So prostration, meaning salat, is only for Allah. The other thing is a dua, supplication as well, only being for Allah Ta'ala. So he said, the masajid are mawadi' al-sujud, aw a'da' al-sujud, mosques or the body parts that prostrate, lillahi, are for Allah alone. وَرَتَّبَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلَهُ, and he built upon that statement, adding his statement, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, so then do not call upon anyone with Allah. أَيْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا مَعَهُ غَيْرَهُ, do not worship anyone other than him, فَتَسْجُدُوا لَهُ, and making, you know, in doing so, making prostration to that object of worship. وَوَجْهُ الدِّلَالَةِ مِنَ الْآيَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ, the angle of his proof for supplications being worshipped, from the second verse, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, that is that Allah, the Glorified and Most High, بَيَّنَ أَنَّ مَنْ يَدْعُو مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ, clarify that whoever calls upon another object of worship along with Allah, and it should say إِلَهًا and not إِلَه, إِلَهًا آخَرَ, another printing mistake, فَإِنَّهُ كَافِرٌ, then verily he's a disbeliever, لِأَنَّهُ قَالَ, because he, Allah, has stated, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ, verily the disbelievers shall not be successful. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ, in his statement, لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ, having no proof to do so in that action, إِشَارَةٌ, there is a reference there to a matter, إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يَكُونَ بُرْهَانَ عَلَىٰ تَعَدُّدِ الْآلِهَةِ, and it should say al-aliha, not al-aliha. There should be a med and not a hamza there. There's a reference here that it's not even possible to have any proof for the plurality of objects of worship, for there being more than one object of worship. فَهَذِهِ السِّفَةِ, so this description of the deity being called upon, لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ, that deity has no evidence in its favor to be called upon, صِفَةٌ كَاشِفَةٌ مُبَيِّنَ لِلْأَمْرِ, it is a description that exposes the reality of all things called upon besides Allah. The reality and the truth of that is that there is no evidence for any one of them to have any act of worship directed to them. وَلَيْسَتْ صِفَةً مُقَيِّدَةً, it is not a description that brings about a qaid, that brings about a condition. Meaning, whoever calls upon an object of worship other than Allah, one that he has no proof for in doing so. Linguistically, you might say, well, this excludes the one who calls upon other than Allah while he has a proof in his favor for doing so. And so the Shaykh is saying that's not possible here, because that's not the meaning of لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ. It is not that some objects of worship have no evidence in their favor to be worshipped, and others do. Rather, all objects of worship besides Allah have no evidence revealed from Allah and no authority for them to be recipients of worship. وَلَيْسَتْ صِفَةً مُقَيِّدَةً تُخْرِجُ مَا فِيهِ بُرْهَانٌ, and you know, that would exclude the validity of calling upon some people with evidence. لِأَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يَكُونَ بُرْهَانُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ, because it's not possible for there to exist evidence in favor of someone worshipping a deity besides Allah. Back to the text of the book, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, stated, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ الدُّعَاءُ مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ, and in the hadith, in the narration, a dua, it is the central part of worship. Another mistake there. It says, wafiyya. Wafiyya, that means, and in me, there is a hadith. Or about me, there is a hadith. And of course, that is wrong. There should be no shadda there. It should say, wafi. The ya is sakina. Wafi al-hadithi, in the narration, a dua mukhul ibadah. And that way of bringing a hadith, it's called Sighatu Tamreed, the manner of narrating the hadith where there's an indication that the hadith is weak and not authentic. He says, Wafil Hadith. He doesn't say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not say, the Messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said this. He said, and in the hadith. And that hadith could be authentic or unauthentic. In this case, it's a widely known unauthentic hadith, which can be replaced by what is authentic. الدعاء هو العبادة. Supplication, it is itself ibadah. As for mukhul ibadah, the mukh is the brains, or the centralmost part of something, then the meaning is correct. Like the core of worship is supplication. Why do we say the meaning is correct? Because let's look at our acts of worship. Let's look at salah. Salah consists of what? Dua, from beginning to end. There's no salah where you're just moving or just fulfilling motions or something. You are asking, begging, pleading for things from Allah from beginning to end, all the way to the end of the prayer. Go to Hajj, for example. What's the best part of Hajj? Arafat. What do you do on Arafat? You make dua all afternoon, dhuhr, asr, as much as you can. You make dua diligently. That's the pinnacle of Hajj. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Arafat is the most important part of Hajj. The peak of Hajj is no more actions, no more moving, no caravans moving along, no throwing, no movement. What? Standing and supplicating to Allah, declaring His oneness and begging Him for your needs. So then you look at the various acts of worship and you find, even with the payment of zakat, zakat is established for goals. From the most important of the goals of zakat is bridging the gaps that exist between the people. The financial barriers, the social barriers that exist. Bringing the rich closer to the poor. Bringing the poor closer to the rich. Making them meet. Making them shake hands. Making them see each other. And so the rich person, when he looks at the poor person, what does he do? He has sympathy for this poor person. So what's one of the first things a Muslim does? Looking at someone who has less than him. Oh Allah, increase him. Oh Allah, give him more. Oh Allah, give him, provide for him, and so on. And then perhaps he'll pull out some more money and give it to him out of sympathy. What does the poor person do when he sees the rich person? If he's on his religion properly. He sees a fancy car pull up to his house. He says, oh Allah, bless his car. Oh Allah, bless his wealth. And he gives him zakat. Oh Allah, bless this man for thinking of me and coming to me. It's not just the movement of finances. It's not just a bank transfer and that's what zakat is. No, rather it's a richer meaning that connects the people that have been divided by these barriers that exist in society. So in every act of worship, you'll find at the very core of it is dua. The very meaning of it is dua, supplication. So the meaning of a dua, mukhul ibadah, is a correct meaning. However, to say it's from the speech of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is incorrect. And we need to be clear on that. Not every accurate statement is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What color is the carpet? The carpet is green. Can we say, because that is an accurate statement, the Messenger of Allah said that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's lying on him. He did not say that. For me to say, for example, Al-Masjid Al-Awwal is in the city of Pittsburgh. That's an accurate statement. Because it's accurate, does it become the speech of the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, it only becomes his speech when we can trace it with an authentic chain of transmission back to him. One that passes the grade in terms of the sciences of hadith. So when we say it's not authentic, that means this is not the speech of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't mean that it's a lie and that it's foul and that it's a terrible meaning and all of that. It can be accurate in its meaning as well. It doesn't have to be wrong in its meaning. No, but we cannot. What is dangerous is that we attribute it to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attributing to him things that he did not say, as that is a huge crime. Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. Whoever lies upon me, attributing to me what I have not said, then let him take his seat in the hellfire. The hadith, which is known as the most obvious example of mutawatir, the most obvious example of a hadith with so many different routes. Some of the scholars counted as many as 200 companions narrating this hadith with its various wordings. Al-Imam al-Tabarani collected that in one single volume of a book, the same hadith from so many different companions, with his chains all the way to those companions. طيب, so, الدعاء هو العبادة. Supplication it is in itself worship. That is authentic. الدُعاءُ مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ is not authentically reported from the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The author says, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and the evidence is his statement, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and your Lord has said, call upon me. He commands us to call upon him. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, as a result of you calling upon him, he says, I will respond to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, those who arrogantly refuse to worship me. عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, he has called here supplication, عِبَادَة, those who are too arrogant to worship me, سَيَدُخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ, they shall enter Jahannam, the hellfire, in humiliation. And that is from Surah Ghafir, the 60th verse. In explanation of this point, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen stated, هذا شروع من المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى في أدلة أنواع العبادة. This is the author, may Allah have mercy on him, beginning now to mention the evidences for the various kinds of worship. التي ذكرها في قوله, those that he mentioned when he stated, وَأَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا, and the various kinds of worship which Allah has ordered, are the likes of مِثْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَمِنْهُ الدُّعَاءُ, the likes of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan, and from them as well is dua, supplications, إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ, to the end of that statement, فَبَدَأَ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ, so he began, may Allah have mercy upon him, بِذِكْرِ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى الدُّعَاءِ, by mentioning the evidences that show dua, supplications, are a form of worship. وَسَيَأْتِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ تَفْصِيلُ أَدِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, and later there will come a detailed mention of the evidences in favor of those three terms, Islam, Iman, and Ihsan, while the Shaykh has already mentioned to us the hadith of Jibreel, which is at the core of all of those evidences. وَاسْتَدَلَّ الْمُؤَلِّفُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ, the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, used as proof, بِمَا يُرْوَى عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that which has been reported from the Prophet. That phrase, يُرْوَى, is similar to the statement of the author, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ, in the hadith. يُرْوَى means it's been reported. This is scholarly precision in speech. That he's mentioning a hadith here that is used by the scholars, but identifying it as problematic as well in terms of its authenticity. He didn't say bima thabata an al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say he mentioned the hadith of what's established authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or bima sahha, what is authentic. He said bima yurwa. He mentioned what has been reported. That's called Sighatu At-Tamrid. It's the manner of narrating that indicates a problem in the authenticity of what's being narrated. Tamrid means from marrada, yumarridu, to show you that it's marid, to show you that it's sick or not well. Naam. And the scholars, they use these words, health and about health and sickness, for the narrations. Aslan sahih and da'if, what are they? Sahih means healthy, but it's used for authentic and established. Da'if also refers to the condition of a person who's weak or sick. Ma'lul or mu'al means sickened or diseased, right? These are the narrations which are unauthentic. The chain has a flaw in the chain. So here we have the word what? Yurwa. Sighatu At-Tamrid, the phrase which shows that there's some kind of disease or illness here in the narration, meaning a weakness, a broken chain, perhaps a narrator who was not precise in his understanding, that which does not allow us to rely upon it as an authentic statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal ad-du'a'u mukhul 'ibadah, that which is reported that he has said, supplication is the core or most central part of worship. The hadith was collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, who did not call it Hasan or Sahih, as was his custom with authentic narrations. Rather, he called it Gharibun, a strange narration, which is an indication from this early Imam al-Tirmidhi to the weakness of the hadith. وَاسْتَدَلَّ كَذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. He also used as a proof the statement of Allah the Most High, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has said, call upon me, I answer you, or I will answer you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Verily those who are too arrogant to worship me, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. They shall enter the hellfire, disgraced and humiliated. فَدَلَّتِ الْآيَةُ الْكَرِيمَةُ. This noble verse proves عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الدُّعَاءَ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ, that dua, supplications, are a kind of worship. وَلَوْلَا ذَلِكَ, and had that not been the case, مَا صَحَّ أَن يُقَالَ, it would not have been correct to say إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Verily those who are too arrogant to worship me, after commanding people to call upon him with dua, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ, they shall enter the hellfire, disgraced and humiliated. فَمَنْ دَعَى غَيْرَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِشَيْءٍ, whoever calls upon other than Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, with a matter, بِشَيْءٍ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that the people and everyone other than Allah are unable to do that thing, فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ, then he is a polytheist disbeliever. Now here he's breaking it down. What does it mean to call upon someone? Because you can use the same word, da'a. Da'ani fulan. So-and-so called me. He said, hey, come here. That's du'a as well. Da'a. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Don't make the way you make du'a to the messenger like how you make du'a to each other. Meaning you call each other and say, come here, I'd like to talk to you. You know, you call someone out. So that's also called da'wah and du'a. However, that's not worship. And the Shaykh is explaining that here. That which is specific to Allah, and only Allah is capable of doing that, that is the intended meaning of the worship of du'a, calling upon someone. For it is allowed for you to call upon your brother to help you lift something, to get you some food, to help you fulfill a need. He's able to do that. He's alive, he's here, and he's able. However, someone who's alive, capable and in front of you, can you say to him, my brother, would you please forgive my sins and enter me into paradise? Would you please keep me from the hellfire? Would you please, you know, give me safety on the day of judgment? You now begin to request things about paradise and the hellfire, forgiveness and so on from this person. Obviously, this is something exclusive to Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah is asked for these things. That's the meaning of what he said here, لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Things that are only the right of Allah to be asked, that he is the only one who can do those things. فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ كَافِرٌ. Whoever does that, he is a polytheist disbeliever. سَوَاءً كَانَ الْمَدْعُوُ حَيًّا أَوْ مَيِّتًا. No matter if the one being called upon besides Allah is alive or dead, it doesn't matter. وَمَنْ دَعَى حَيًّا. And whoever called upon a person who's alive, بِمَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ, with what he's capable of doing, مِثْرَ أَنْ يَقُولَ يَا فُلَانٌ أَطْعِمْنِي. Like for him to say, oh so-and-so, there should be a hamza now. Take some of those hamzas that you erased and put one of them here. أَطْعِمْنِي. Give me food. يَا فُلَانُ اسْقِينِي. Oh fulan, give me something to drink. Give me something to eat. فَلَا شَيْءَ فِيهِ. There's nothing wrong with this. Calling upon someone to give you something that he's capable of doing. وَمَنْ دَعَى مَيِّتًا أَوْ غَائِبًا. Someone who calls upon a dead person or one who's absent in another land. بِمِثْلِ هَذَا. Give me food, give me drink. He asks for that from the dead or the absent, right? فَإِنَّهُ مُشْرِكٌ. Then this person asking is a mushrik, a polytheist. Why? لِأَنَّ الْمَيِّتَ أَوْ الْغَائِبَ. because the dead or the absent one, لَا يُمْكِنُ أَن يَقُومَ بِمِثْلِ هَذَا, he's not able to do this, meaning he can't hear, and he's not able to fulfill that request. فَدُعَاؤُهُ إِيَّاهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ يَعْتَقِدْ, so his calling upon him in that way indicates that he believes something. يَعْتَقِدْ أَنَّ لَهُ تَصَرُّفًا فِي الْكَوْنِ, that one has something to do with the provisions within the creation, the interactions of, or the management of the universe. فَيَكُونُ بِذَلِكَ مُشْرِكًا, and therefore he is, as a result of that, a polytheist. Let us exclude from this calling someone who is absent by way of technology, by way of phones. Obviously, if you call someone in another land who is not here, he's غائب. He has حُكْم الْحَاضِر, he is in the ruling of someone who's present, once you have technology that reaches him through a phone or by sending a letter or message or whatever, then you can ask him to provide you with something that is within his capabilities while he is on the other side of the earth, so long as that is through understood and acceptable means of communication. But for the one who raises his hands and he calls upon his sheikh, some of the Sufis do this, I call upon my sheikh, please provide me with some food. Here, asking someone for food is okay, but the problem is he's asking his sheikh on the other side of the world in a way that indicates my sheikh can hear me. And he may say that directly. My sheikh knows what I'm doing right now. He hears me. And I don't need a phone to call him. He knows. When I call upon him, he knows that I'm calling upon him. And some of the severely deviant Sufis have these kinds of beliefs. They say, and they think they're praising their sheikhs, they say, my sheikh knows when I make wudu, which sins have fallen off my fingers. I've encountered a Sufi who said this to me. He said, my sheikh knows which sins fall off my fingers when I make wudu. He told me this one and this one and this one. We say this is a magician. This is a soothsayer. This is someone who's what? Hunting for information from the unseen, from the shayateen and the jinn. Right? And he's tricking you. He's not a sheikh. As Islamic knowledge, no matter how broad your reach is into Islamic knowledge, you never gain knowledge of the unseen. It's not in a chapter of any book. It's not the teaching or the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're never going to become so masterfully knowledgeable that now you know the unseen. That's just impossible. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew only little of the unseen regarding the few affairs he was given revelation regarding. So how do people today think they're going to know the unseen in a general way like that? And they brag about their sheikh knowing the unseen. And it's just trickery and dajjal, deception, and so on. The sheikh says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الدُّعَاءَ نَوْعَانِ, he says, know that dua is of two types. دُعَاءُ مَسْأَلَةً, it's the dua of requesting something. وَدُعَاءُ عِبَادَةً, and the dua of simply worshipping. Here he gives explanation to this basic categorization of dua. فَدُعَاءُ الْمَسْأَلَةِ هُوَ دُعَاءُ الطَّلَبِ, so the dua of requesting something is the dua of asking. أَيْ طَلَبُ الْحَاجَاتِ, this means to request one's needs. وَهُوَ عِبَادَةً, this is an act of worship. إِذَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ لِرَبِّهِ, if it's from a servant to his Lord. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ الْإِفْتِقَارَ, that hamza is wrong. Take that hamza away. It's a five lettered masdar. No hamzat qata as a rule. It's hamzat wasal. Al-infisal wal-iftiqar wal-ittisali, and so on. Huh? No hamza written or pronounced. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ الْإِفْتِقَارَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, because that includes someone showing his dire need to Allah, the Most High. وَالْلُجُوءَ إِلَيْهِ, showing his need to draw near and get refuge from Allah. They should say, وَلِاعْتِقَادَ أَنَّهُ قَادِرٌ كَرِيمٌ وَاسِعُ الْفَضْلِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ, it also includes the belief that he is all capable, generous, and broad in how much bounties he bestows upon the people and how much mercy he bestows. وَيَجُوزُ إِذَا صَدَرَ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ لِمِثْلِهِ, it is allowed, this kind of request, dua al-mas'ala, if it comes from a servant to someone like him, another servant, min al-makhluqin, from the created beings, إذا كان المدعو يعقل الدعاء, so long as the one being called upon understands the request, ويقدر على الإجابة, and he is able to fulfill that request, كما سبق في قول القائل يا فلان أطعمني, like has preceded in the example of so and so, give me some food, meaning, and he has food, and he is able to hear you, understand your request, and give you some of the food that he has. وَأَمَّا دُعَاءُ الْعِبَادَةِ, as for the dua, the supplication, the calling upon Allah that is ibadah, meaning strict ibadah. The first one is ibadah, as we've already mentioned. Here, dua al-ibadah means just as ibadah, no request involved. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Oh Allah, you are the guarantor of peace, and from you is all peace. Blessed be you, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام, O possessor of majesty and grace. Something we say after the salah. Notice the phrase we use. Allahumma, O Allah, here I am calling upon Allah. What's my request? There's no request there. I haven't asked for anything. Allahumma, anta salam. I'm praising him, calling upon him to praise him. So it's a pure act of worship where nothing is being requested. Just, O Allah, you are this and you are that. Praising Allah and extolling him. So he says, wa amma du'a ul ibadah, as for the supplication of pure worship, فَأَنْ يَتَعَبَّدَ بِهِ, that is for a person to worship, using that kind of dua, لِلْمَدْعُ, towards the one he's calling upon, he worships the one he's calling upon, طَلَبًا لِثَوَابِهِ وَخَوْفًا مِنْ عِقَابِهِ, hoping for the reward of that supplication, only not a specific request, and fearing the punishment of the one he's calling upon. وَهَذَا لَا يَسِحُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, and so this kind is not for anyone other than Allah, meaning in any case. وَصَرْفُهُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ شِرْكٌ أَكْبَرُ, and giving this kind of dua, supplication to other than Allah, meaning in any instance, is major shirk that nullifies a person's religion. مُخْرِجٌ عَنِ الْمِلَّةِ, taking a person outside of the religion. وَعَلَيْهِ يَقَعُ الْوَعِيدُ, and upon someone who does this, the threat of punishment falls upon him. في قوله تعالى, in the statement of Allah, the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, verily those who are too arrogant to worship me, meaning call upon me alone and no one else, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ, they shall enter the hellfire, humiliated and disgraced. From Surah Al-Ghafir, the 60th verse. And this is the point that we'll stop at today, thanking Allah Ta'ala for the benefit that we have attained, asking him to increase us in good and to purify us of our ills and our poor manners, and to purify us of our inappropriate beliefs about him, our inappropriate behavior and practices, and that he make us imams of the pious. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.